Hey there, everybody. It is Tina Conrad, aka DJ Breast Cancer, and I am here with a special amazing guest. Her name is Mercedes Anderson. She is a young, beautiful, Black breast cancer survivor, and I am so excited to share with you her story and to have her on my show. Mercedes watched her own sister battle this horrible disease for 6 years. Passing away just in 2019, and then she herself was diagnosed in February of 2020. So welcome, Mercedes. I'm so happy to have you on this show and to share your story and a little bit about your family story as well.
Yes, thank you so much, Tina. It's a pleasure to be on this show.
And you bring such a light and such a good energy, so I'm just really excited for everyone to meet you and to hear a little bit more about you.
Okay, thank you. So, like she said, my name is Mercedes Anderson. I am 35 years old. I have a son. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in February of 2020, exact date, February 13, 2020. It was crazy because it's 6 months after my sister passed away from breast cancer. She fought it for 6 years, and she passed away of August of 2019. So me getting diagnosed, it was so much of a shocking, just because, you know, I woke up one morning feeling a lump, but not think of anything, but just think about my family history. I have a couple women in my family that passed away from breast cancer, so it kind of made me pinpoint to, like, just to go get it checked out. But when I went, they did the test and everything, and then it came back that I had breast cancer. So I got diagnosed with invasive ductal carcinoma, grade 3. So it was very shocking because the doctor was telling me that it was very aggressive. So that was, like, crazy for me.
Yeah, it's a lot to process. And then obviously, given your family history, like, your brain wants to take you to some probably deep, dark, you know, crazy places too.
Yes, yes, yes. And that was, like, mostly my biggest problem, just because, you know, when you think of breast cancer, you think about, like, oh my God, you're going to die, you know? And but it got personal to me just because, you know, I've seen my sister battle it for 6 years. So it was, like, very hard for me, you know, but I had to just, like, you know, everybody is different. Believe God, only heal me, and just, like, keep the faith. And just me just sitting in a hospital, it was just like, I just had to get my thoughts together. But, you know, you'd be in a shock for a while.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we all kind of go through different phases. It's you know, like a grief in and of itself, hearing those words, you have cancer. So you're kind of in that denial phase, and then sadness, and, you know, until you kind of finally come to accept, you know, just the diagnosis itself. And it's so hard. And obviously this was right on the heels of your sister, you know, passing away too. So I can only imagine, like, my heart just truly goes out to you, and, like, what a hard time it must have been for you and for all your family members too.
Yes. Yes. It really, honestly, Tina, it really was, like, a shocking, like, it was just like, wait, come again, like, you know, but after me, I think after me doing the ultrasound and the mammogram, and then it was like, oh, it came back as, like, abnormal. So that means you have to do the biopsy. So in your mind, you like, oh my God, it got to be something. But I was still believing, like, oh, it's just a cyst. That's it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Because in the beginning of the process, my doctor felt it, but he was like, let's do blood work. So they did blood work, and my blood work came back so good. They was like, your numbers is good. Like, you don't have cancer. So it kind of, you know, left me like, okay, I don't. So I was at ease, but just waiting for that test, and it was just like a shocker for me.
Yeah, so I know you've had chemo and different treatments. Are you in the midst of chemo right now, or where are you kind of at with your treatment plan?
So I'm right now I'm in chemo. So I did 2 rounds of the AC, and they so call it like the Red Devil. So I did 2 rounds of that. I have 8 altogether. And I don't have to do radiation just due to me having a double mastectomy.
Okay.
So I end up going for a double mastectomy. Due to me, for me taking a genetic test, it came back positive. So that was just like my first thing is to get both of them cut off. But from the beginning, before I even did the test, I wanted a double mastectomy because I seen my sister only remove the lump. And I just knew how many different changes she went through. I was just like, from the beginning, I don't want to go through that.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if you know too, but like my mom is a 2-time breast cancer survivor, and
wow.
And it's really hard. But it did help shape me and my decisions too. To your point, like I was probably more aggressive just because of the family history, because
yes.
of what I saw her go through. And thankfully, you know, she's still here with me, but like it was literally, I've been like in some kind of breast cancer battle since 2001, you know what I mean? Because
wow.
of my mom facing it 2 times and then myself having it. So I totally can relate to, you know, just this different frame of mind. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
and my mom felt really guilty, you know, and it was something I told her like, hey, like maybe because of you having it, I'm more aware of this, you know? And so it's kind of a gift, you know, in a way too.
Yeah, it is.
And like, you know, you can't take this on yourself, but like, think of it as a way that, you know, it gets my attention in a way that maybe no one else ever would.
Yeah. No, I get that, because sometimes I sit back and sometimes I talk to people are like, oh my God, I couldn't do it just losing my sister. But sometimes I look at it like, wow, you know, she fought that battle because for me, you know, like if she didn't have that, I don't even think how I would be able to process all of this. I don't even think how I would be able to take charge of what to do, what not to do if it wasn't for her.
Yeah. So you spoke a little bit about your family history. So I know it was not only your sister, but you have other people too in your life, right? That have been touched
yes.
by breast cancer.
Yes. So my grandma had it. She passed away. And my aunt had it and she passed away. But 6 years ago, I have a cousin and my sister. They got diagnosed around the same time. But my cousin, she's still alive. She's still battling it. She's right now she's in a readmission, but the kind of breast cancer she has like with the skin. So if I'm not, how she tell me it's not really curable. So she, you know, I have to take pills, have to keep on constantly go to the doctor and everything. But she's battling it right now.
Mm.
And then on my dad's side, I have a niece that last year got diagnosed with breast cancer.
Wow. So when you did your genetic test, was it BRCA1, BRCA2? What did you test? No.
I came back with mine is no BRCA1, BRCA2. It's a very unknown genetic because it's so many. So it's a PAL, PALB2.
Okay.
So that's a higher risk of breast cancer and ovarian cancer.
Okay.
And pancreatic cancer. But it's not that many, it's not a lot of research on it. It's a very unknown. So as the years pass, how I talk to a genetic counselor, they just still trying to figure it out.
Hmm. Okay.
It's not that much information about it.
I haven't even heard of that one. I know like I recently, well, maybe a couple years ago did like a second panel because I tested, you know, negative for the BRCA1, BRCA2, but then my doctor said like, oh, hey, there's a whole new, you know, slew of, you know, genes we want to test you for, you know, so I went
mm-hmm.
in a couple years ago and did that. Of which I tested, you know, negative for too, but I was just like, it's so strange too, because I'm kind of wanting answers because, you know, it's just really weird that, you know, I'm in my 30s, my mom was in her 40s when she was first diagnosed, you know, like why would 2 women of the same, you know, like very young age, you know, get it? And so, you know, I did have a good conversation with them and, you know, there's either like a gene we just don't know yet, or, you know, could be environmental, because obviously I lived in the same house as my mom, drank the same well water as my mom in a farming community, you know, so it's hard to kind of say, but it is really interesting. So yeah, I have not heard of this, you know, PALB2, so it's interesting.
Yes, it is. And I talked to a genetic counselor, and she was very, like, straightforward with me, but what she did say is for that genetic, it have a high risk of ovarian cancer. So the next step that I would be talking about is getting my ovary and stuff removed, because that would make me a higher risk of getting that kind of cancer.
Okay. And that makes sense. So do you think you'll do that like in the next year or two? Okay. Okay.
I kind of want it, just because how I am, I just kind of want it just like after I'm done with chemo, you know, for me getting a double mastectomy, I have expanders in me, so I'm in the process of doing that too, and then I will be able to get implants. So I kind of want all this like around the same time, like back to back, just to get it over with. Because I'm like, after going through all of this, I'm like, I don't want to come back 2 years later and have to go through all of this all over again.
No, I totally understand. I feel like it was like definitely a year of my life, but, you know, knock on wood, thank God, you know, I've been, you know, good since then. But oh man, those expanders, those are like, they're no joke. Like I'm a belly sleeper. So it's just, it was so hard to like learn a new sleeping position.
Oh,
they're
my
so
God.
Hard.
I just got my first filled this Monday.
Did you really? So how did it go for you? Because some people are like okay with it, and other people have, you know, like it's just such a weird sensation.
You know what? For weeks, I was like panicking. Like I was just like, oh my God, because I looked it up on YouTube. And I'm like, oh my God, they put the needle right there. I was just like panicking. But when I went in, my doctor is so good that he took the time out. He's like talking to me through the whole process, and I really didn't feel it. But the one without my breast, the left one, I didn't really feel it. I felt the discomfort and the pressure, mm-hmm. but the right breast that had the cancer in, when he was feeling that, it was very like pressure. Like I felt it. And I think just because for me having invasive cancer, my doctor took extra skin out.
Yeah.
So it was more, he wasn't able to, how much he put in the left, he wasn't able to put in a right, because it was like killing me. I was like, oh no. But it wasn't as bad. But when I got home that day, the after pain, I felt it.
Mm. Were you able to just take like a little, like a Motrin or something to kind of ease the pain?
Yeah, I took a Narcan.
There you go. I had plenty of those after surgery too. Yes.
I took it because it felt like when I came home from surgery, you know, for me getting my lymph nodes removed, it's like it felt like that arm, you know, like that pain that was right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, oh my God, like I didn't think, but it wasn't as bad as I thought. I mean, you feel it, but I did hear that the bigger you go, the more it's a little bit more painful.
Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah, I have heard that too. For me, it wasn't too bad. I don't really recall the fills being like an issue, but when they're all done and removing like the tubing or whatever, like they remove, you know, like whatever fills you, like when you're done, mm-hmm. I just remember that being like the weirdest sensation. Like it didn't hurt, but it was so weird. Like I just remember that. Like, so whenever they go to remove it, just kind of be prepared for it, because you're just not used to like feeling something moving through your body, if that makes sense. And it was like they were extracting like whatever they used to, you know, pump it up. And I was like, oh my God, that is the weirdest thing, like weirdest sensation like ever.
So they didn't push you to sleep when they removed them?
No. Like I was awake. Oh, I was in like my doctor's office, and it was just very weird. Like I was just like, what is happening?
Like, what is this?
What is this? But like I remember, you know, the expanders were just, it's difficult, and like obviously you're battling, you know, just coming off of the mastectomy, and like that's, you know, so much to work with too. I do remember like the exchange surgery. I don't want to say it was a piece of cake, but for me, it wasn't, you know, because any surgery is obviously a risk, but I felt like for me, that one was pretty simple and pretty straightforward. So the exchange surgery for me was pretty good.
I believe surgery is like, to me, surgery is like a piece of cake, but I feel like the hardest thing right now is just like the chemo.
Yeah. Oh, I hated chemo.
I think this is the chemo just because, you know, I'm on the AC and that's like one of the strongest chemo just because, you know, when I had my surgery, I was so like happy because it was like, oh, the cancer didn't spread nowhere. It didn't go to the lymph nodes. You're fine. So the U.S. stays too. But then after when I talked to my oncologist, he read over my test and everything. He was like, okay, you're triple negative. So we have to give you this kind of chemo because it's a very strong chemo for triple negative patients. So I was like, oh my God. But I feel like this is like the hardest part for me.
It was for me too. And I had the adriamycin, cytoxin, the red devil, like I had four of that. They do it a little bit differently now where they kind of combine them together. But when I was doing it, you know, almost 7 years ago, like they kind of split them up. So I had four rounds of adriamycin, cytoxin, and then I had 12 rounds of the like Taxol or Taxotere. But
I have to get that. Yes.
It was just, it's like a marathon. It is really, it is tough. Like, and it's just, you know, so talk to me a little bit about going through chemo in the COVID days, because clearly like when I go, you know, in the past, like I had a whole posse of people, you know, and I could entertain myself with, you know, it kind of felt like a sister's or girlfriend's day out because I could have like all these people. So what has it been like, you know, in these new crazy times?
To me, like, I feel like it's the worst, you know, because for me in the past, I used to see people have family, friends, and stuff like that. So now, since I have to go to like all my appointments, it's terrible because I have to be by myself. And then being in chemo, it's not as bad as I thought. Mm-hmm. Because I have a very great support team. So I have someone always taking me. But I have, when I first went, I have some really good nurses. Like, they keep me, I entertain them because I love taking pictures. So they'd be like, oh, can you take a picture of me? You know, so that keep me going. You know, just having some good nurses around, they keep me. So, and then, you know, at least I'm able to FaceTime, talk on the phone. So it's not as bad as I thought. I thought it was going to be like, oh my God, I'm going to be so sad. But the first day, it wasn't bad. I was just like, you know, I met a little bit outdoors. So I met the nurses. She's just like me. She likes to take pictures. We talk, we laugh. And just for them, like, asking you, are you okay? Do you need anything? It make you feel like, okay, I'm in a good hand. You know, so it's not as bad. But it would be nice if I could have somebody to sit there and entertain me. But it is what it is.
I know. Nurses are like angels, though, I tell you. Like, I had some amazing ones, too. And, like, I'm actually still friends with some of them, like, on social media, you know, years and years later. But they're just such amazing oncology nurses. Like, it takes a special breed, and they're just so amazing. And, yes, I mean, I can't say enough about them. They're awesome.
Yes, and then I went for my second one a week ago, and when I walked in, I sat down, got together, everything, and she was like, okay, you want to take a picture? I was like, oh, yes. So it just makes you feel like welcome, you know, just feel like
you have them trained. You have them trained. Yes. You're only two in, and you got them eating out of the palm of your hand.
Yes, I was like, thank God for good nurses. Like,
yes,
that make your process go so much better.
Oh, well, I love that. Well, speaking of thank God, I wanted to chat with you a little bit about faith, because I could just tell from like your entry form that, you know, your faith has been such a strong source of support for you. And as it was for me during my treatments and continues to be. So would just kind of love to know, like, you know, has your faith journey changed? Has it strengthened your relationship? Have you questioned anything? Like, just kind of how all of that ties in, you know, with this breast cancer diagnosis.
Okay. So with my faith, I believe during this journey that my faith became so much stronger. From the beginning, I have like when I got diagnosed, I was praying. I go to church, so I was raised in the church. So I was my pastor was praying for me, like, we're gonna believe God, everything's gonna work out. You do not have cancer. So when I got diagnosed from the beginning, I never questioned God, like, why me? I never said that. The only thing I was just like, I have to fight. Like, I'm too young. Like, I have a whole life ahead of me. So just in the process of after getting diagnosed, you have them sleepless nights that you cannot sleep. Like, it took me forever to sleep. It's like I fall asleep, but I wake up. But in the midst of every time I wake up, I tell people, I used to just say, I believe God. I believe God gonna heal my body. So it's just that you have so much time by yourself that my faith, I just start reading the Bible, and just I have so many people reaching out to me and saying, like, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. So I believe they was, and I was like, I believe God got me in any way. And then one day I prayed to God, and I said, God, I accept this. I'm accept I have cancer and I'm okay, but just let me live through it. Just let me be cancer free at the end. So after my surgery, when they came back and said that, in the beginning they telling you your cancer is aggressive, it's easy to spread, so that's all I'm thinking in the process, like, oh my God, my cancer gonna spread through my body. Even how strong you try to act in front of people, that's all you believe. So I after I when they came my doctor my surgeon came back and said, Mercedes, the cancer did not it didn't get bigger, it didn't spread, it didn't go to your lymph node. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And then ever since that day, it's just like people be like, are you scared? I'm like, no, I'm cancer free. Like, God got me at the end. People I have people that come and sit by me and be sad. I'm like, no, they're like, how are you smart? I'm like, God, my faith is bigger than anything. If God made this one thing that you didn't spread to my body and go lymph nodes, I'm not crushing nothing because at the end, he got me.
Oh, I love
So my
that.
faith just went through a whole different level.
And I like specifically remember the moment when I let go and let God just take over, 'cause and they told me on a call, they're like, hey, we don't know if we got clean margins, like we don't know. Like we took everything we could take, in the surgery. We just don't know. And then thankfully, like it did come back and they did get clean margins. But that paranoia that like stops you in your tracks, like, hey, I did a double mastectomy. Like how can you not have everything? Like I don't understand. Like it's really hard to kind of rationalize it, but I just let it go. Like I just let it go. And I was like, God, I'm giving this to you because this is like so big, so big. Like I cannot handle this, And it's really freeing when you actually kind of transfer that, power to him who's so almighty and just let him like have the wheel, because like, we're just getting in the way. It's his plan. So it was very freeing to just kind of let him have it, and from that point, like I felt like good things happened because I just had faith, and it just grew from there. So thank you
That's
for
how,
sharing that.
yes, that's like my faith. I'm like, due to this journey, my faith is like so higher that I was like, I have no worries. I just put in God's hands, like you said.
Yes, that's all you can do. I'd love to know a little bit, obviously there's been, so much media attention, with racism, with, systems being different for, white people versus black people. Would just love to know, I do try to pride myself on my show talking about tough topics, and one of them, I would love to know as a black woman in the United States, did you experience, any challenges or and maybe you don't even know about it, but kind of what has been your experience going through this journey as a Black woman in America?
Yes, I did. I did feel something different, me being African American and a black woman going through this. It's just that in the beginning of me having a surgeon office in Beverly Hills, and I know in the process of me, I was calling the office just for me being young, I have questions, like, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? And then one day, a reception asked for the phone, and she was very rude to me, very rude. Like, you're not the only patient. And I'm like, okay. So I was like, okay. I was trying to be very polite. So I hung up, and I was just like, wow, I'm getting treated so rude, but I only need to know answers, So one day I called back, and I was talking to her. She still was rude. I understand that I'm not the only one here, but I'm young. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I just have questions regarding certain things, and I feel like you've been very, being sensitive with me, So I had to let her know. And to this day, now we are good, but I just feel like I had to show more. I had to basically be my own advocate. Because sometimes with, an African, we don't have, I didn't have the best insurance, but thank God that I got everything approved through my insurance. But at the same time, I had to fight for myself. You tell me one thing, I'm going to follow up with you, and then I'm going to follow up with my insurance company. But I seen my sister go through that, and I just seen her as an African-American. They just did her any kind of way. And I feel because she didn't stand up for herself and really talk that much about certain things, because sometimes just for us being African Americans, I feel like we have to stand up more. We have to talk more. We really have to fight for what we want. And I feel like in this process, I had to fight. I had to let them know, okay, I know about this. I had to do my own research, because talking, if I didn't do no research, they would just tell me anything, because it's different options that I got for me falling up on my diagnosis that I have to let them know I know this. So when they start knowing that I know information, what's going on and with cancer, and I tell them about my family history, okay, then I got more attention. So I just feel like you have to be your own advocate in this process, and it's a little bit more, it's harder, because we may not have the money, we may not know the best doctors. So you have to constantly fight and fight, and I feel like I had to do that, and I feel like I had to push myself and let them know. And I feel like now that's why we at a good place with all my surgeons, the reception, because I was like, no, we're not going to do this. Like, no, I'm going to stand up for me. You're not just going to tell me, oh, you have to call back. No, I mean, my doctor, surgeon told me, email them if I have any questions. So if I never said that, they would have just pushed my stuff to the side, and I would have just been lost. They tried to say that. She's like, oh, okay, you can have your, what about April? No, May for your surgery. I'm like, I cannot wait that long. My surgery, if I have an aggressive cancer, no, we need it sooner.
Well, good. I'm so glad, obviously, that you spoke up for yourself. And I always tell people, be your own, and that is actually something I tell everybody. Like, you are your own best advocate, like 100%. But I can only imagine in your situation, you're already treading water. You're already fighting to just get to the same place as everybody else at a starting point. So you have to swim that much faster, basically, and harder, just to, be on a level playing field. So thank you for sharing that experience. I do want us to share more of these stories and have more conversation and have people, look at themselves in the mirror and always say, like, what can I do better? And, how can I listen more? How can I be more empathetic? How can I treat everybody, fairly, and make sure that, we're all coming from a place of love and, not putting our, prejudices or biases, into the equation.
Yes, it's really sad, but it's just like something that the world that we live in right now. But it's just, I have a couple of women that's not my race that, they even say like, "Oh, I went through this process and I didn't have to do this," but then I was like, "I have to do that." And it was like, it's sad that even with being sick and going through that, you still have to go through the president, like being racist, just being hard for a black woman to get the best treatment like everybody else could get.
Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry, but thank you for sharing that. That it really does mean a lot for me to like talk about these kind of things, have candid conversation about them and really kind of talk about, how can we do things forward. But I think that that's great advice for any women is, it is to speak up. I was kind of taught too, like, don't rock that, apple cart, like be a good girl, like don't really, make waves. And like, I think you kind of have to when you have breast cancer. And thankfully, like my husband went with me to like one appointment too, where we had like a horrible, horrible doctor experience. And we left there.
Wow.
And my husband's like, "Oh, well, he's never shooting radiation beams, like at you." And like for him, it was so black and white. I think, just being male too, sometimes that just comes easier, more natural to them. But
yes,
it's kind of a skill. And we kind of, as women first, have to learn it. And then as a black woman, I can only imagine like it's that much harder. Like you have to fight that much harder in a world that views you in such a different way too.
Yes, that's so true. So true.
Thank you for sharing. I'd love to switch gears just a little bit. I've just been so inspired with like your feed and your stories. And obviously we've been, sharing communication kind of back and forth on Instagram, but I just love like this positivity that you have. Obviously I kind of pride myself on, just being, positive and having hope and, all of that, and even in the darkness. Not saying that there's not bad days, not saying that we can't be real, because we should always be, a real version of ourselves. But at the same time too, looking at this diagnosis as potentially as a gift, as maybe a silver lining, I've just kind of witnessed within your own feed, just, like this newfound confidence that you have in yourself, and like realizing like your hair doesn't define you, and you're such a beautiful soul, and I love it. So
thank you.
And I love even how you're getting your nurses, like involved in your picture taking. That sounds like something I would totally do. So if you could speak to me, just a little bit about, maybe what positive things have come from all of this craziness.
I would honestly say this journey has changed me in so many ways. It's like I found my confidence. Now I'm so outgoing. Like I've kind of been a little bit outgoing, but not as much. And I just felt like, oh my God, I found my voice. I found my purpose. Regardless of the bad part of this cancer, I kind of found myself. Yeah. Because when I got diagnosed, I was just like, I need to learn what is invasive ductal carcinoma. I was like, I need to learn. So first I went to Google and I was like, oh my God, I'm about to go crazy. So I went to YouTube and I started looking at different stories. So I was like, you know what? Back to just being an African-American, I was like, I don't really see a lot of African-Americans sharing their stories. And my sister was very, private with her battle of cancer. And sometimes she felt like nobody was there for her. So I never understand. But now since I'm going through it, you will feel like that. Sometimes some people is not outgoing. Some people don't want to talk about it. But with me, for me seeing how she was, I was like, you know what, I'm going to be open. And I have, a lot of friends and family. So I didn't want to just tell people one by one. So one day I just got on my social media and I was just open. And I couldn't believe it, but I just felt like my faith, And then I felt like I want to help a lot of women, not just African-Americans, but just women, because some people, you know, they feel like, oh my God, I have cancer. I don't want to tell nobody. No, you tell somebody because I feel like with the love and support, you could get through it, you know?
Yeah.
So I just like, I'm about to be a voice. I want to help women. So when I start opening up, I start getting people saying, I love you. You inspire me. Even when I'm going through it and I start having, I'm thinking I'm young. And then I started getting people that was DMing me, women that's much younger than me that got diagnosed. Like, I don't want to tell nobody. I don't know what to do. But when I look at your story, you inspired me. So this, honestly, they said, like, it's keeping them going, but it's keeping me going at the same time, knowing that I'm helping somebody. Because I want to see somebody that went through this battle as a dark moment. So I don't never want nobody to feel like how my sister felt.
Yeah.
And I just feel like if we all could come together and share each other's story and say what's on our mind, or just knowing that somebody's praying for you and somebody says, sister, you got this, are we here for you? You would get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, just being, you know, standing up and just being an advocate, I found my voice. And I want to be a voice for other women too. And then just the confidence, just like even the process of me cutting my hair. I don't even think years ago if I would have went through this, I don't even think I would have done it in front of everybody. But I went live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody was like, are you serious? I'm like, yes, because, you know, as women, just for, even with me telling people I got a double mastectomy, some people are like, oh my God, like I don't want to lose my breast because that's our feminine. And then, like, without breasts or with breasts, you're still beautiful. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to, women to know that. And then for me, just going through the process of cutting my hair, like, I met one woman. She was like, oh, my God, I didn't never want to cut my hair. But to me, I felt like it was going to be more emotional seeing it keep falling out. So just cut it. But at the same time, you beautiful with hair or without hair. You beautiful inside.
Yeah.
But it's just like my confident level, Tina, is just like, it just grew overnight. And then I was raised in church and I used to always say, like, I want a testimony. I want to say what God done for me. But I always been kind of like a person who sit down and back and just observe stuff, but not really that outgoing. But now in these last couple months, I'm just so open. You know, I even now for me cutting my hair last week, I've been like wearing bald head, like my bald head everywhere, you know, and I get people that stop me, not even knowing what I'm going through, but just telling me, oh my God, you rocking that haircut, you know. So I'm like, wow, God, you know, in the midst of everything, God is good. Like, it just brought me to a whole nother level. And then it's just like, I just grew from every level it could be.
I love that. And I would say the same, like that, you know, my hair kind of defined me for so long. And I think it's just kind of being a woman too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had a whole podcast episode about, you know, my own journey, a whole episode about hair. Like it's a big deal. It's a very big deal. But when I shaved it, you know, going into chemo, you know, it wasn't exactly, you know, it was just like real buzz, you know. But, you know, I put on, like, I loved it, and I went to work that way, and I felt confident, and I, like, to your point, like, I kind of felt in some ways more beautiful than I ever had. It's almost like when you strip yourself down of everything,
yes,
it's kind of just like who you are as a person, you know, and that can shine through. And it doesn't mean that I didn't want to get back to where I was, because I did, you know what I mean? I longed for my hair to grow again, and I longed for that, you know, but I was also very comfortable and just kind of used that as a time to find my voice, to find my purpose, you know, all of that.
Yes.
I had been, like, you know, working too much, and you know, my priorities weren't really like where they needed to be. And so it was kind of a place to reset and, like, you know, re-examine myself and really truly grow, you know, just as a
human being.
So thank you for sharing that. That's so awesome. Like, I love your YouTube. It is so great. And I love that, you know, you're, you know, becoming a page for other people's journeys too. And that is so inspiring. I love that.
Yes. Thank you.
So you may know, but I ask every single guest for a Tina tip. So it can be, you know, a real practical advice like, hey, I'm going through chemo and I found this to be effective. Or it can be kind of more, you know, mental or, you know, attitude wise, but any kind of advice that you would like to impart to the listeners, you know, with some kind of breast cancer theme?
My biggest thing that I tell people is that your mind is over matter. Like, I believe that you have to keep a positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like your positive attitude, you have to, because I feel like when you have that positive mindset that you're gonna fight this and you're gonna be cancer free, I feel like that's what you is. And then as I grew up in church, I've learned that your tongue is a powerful thing. So if you speak life over yourself, you're gonna live.
Yeah.
So that is like my main thing that I tell people, like, just speak life over you. Like, I'd be like, speak life for me. I will live and not die. That's like my main thing. And then with that positive attitude, that's everything to me. It's like, I cannot express that enough. And people are like, how do you do it? And I'm like, even though people may seem like it's not easy, I'm not saying we have easy days, we don't get upset. No, we cry. We have our emotional roller coaster, but you have to snap out of it, and you have to just say, like, I'm beating this, like, I'm a survivor. That's why I'm cancer free. And I feel like your mind and your attitude is everything. That positive, regardless, I have some dark moments at nighttime, but regardless, I snap right out of it and be like, you know, because my pastor taught me that your tongue, it's a powerful thing. You cannot speak negative over you, because eventually it's going to happen. So if you keep on speaking that positive, it's going to be an outcome.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. And I do, I 100% agree, you know. And if you find yourself in a dark place, like, again, it is how you speak to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you have to give it up, you know, give it to God at that point in time. Pray, you know, those kind of things. Journaling has helped me in dark times too. Exercising and walking has helped me in dark times. And then community. And I get that, like, we're kind of in this weird COVID space, and community may not look, you know, like we last remembered it 6 months ago or so, but you can still find community even in these dark times, you know.
Yes.
You know, whether it's a YouTube channel, whether it's a DM, whether it's like calling a, you know, breast cancer sister, like, hey, can I talk with you? You know, like, I'm having a bad time, you know, because we all do get in these dark places for sure.
Yes. And that's what I was telling someone the other day, like, every day is a fight when we wake up, you know, you having so many emotions, like even me going to the doctor, I'm like, oh my God, like, this is, you know, leaving a doctor office sometimes can be so stressful because it's always something, you know. But I just let people know that, honestly, you know, with family and friends, that love and support goes a long way.
Yeah.
And just believing in yourself that you're going to get through it, you're going to be all right. And I tell people, cancer is not just a chapter in your life. You know, I mean, cancer is a chapter in your life, but it's not your whole story.
Mm-hmm.
Everything shall pass. And that's why I tell people, like, everything shall pass. You will come out and you'll be much stronger. Like, sometimes when I sit in the mirror and I look at my scars, my port, I just be like, by the grace of God, it's just one step, you know. Mm-hmm. I got to get over it, you know.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you for sharing that amazing tip. I do think positivity, and actually I had doctors when I was going through, you know, my own journey, you know, 7 years mm-hmm. ago, basically telling me, like, you have to stay positive. And they said, if, like, there's basically been studies shown that your body has to work that much less if you are positive. It can, like, basically do what it needs to do with all this chemo and all this craziness, you know, flowing through you. It's one less thing if you're not worrying about, you know, and it's impossible not to worry, but at the same time, just having this like attitude that you're gonna, you know, you're gonna make it.
Yes.
Is so important, just for the human spirit, obviously.
Yes, that's so true. I believe that. I mean, I believe it. My doctors, they used to say, you know, don't think about your sister. You know, everybody's body is different. And then when I got in that mindset, it helped me, even through me having surgery, recovering, even me going through chemo. Because sometimes you get people that say so much negative stuff about cancer, you know, mm-hmm. and you be like, I don't want to hear that. But then my doctor used to say, don't think, everybody is different. You yeah. may, some people don't lose hair. Some people just be fine, you know. So just think of it like that. And that's what I had to do.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, I'd love to know, Mercedes, where can people find you? I know you're pretty active on social media. So what what social media handles are you under? And maybe just a little bit about your YouTube channel, and I'll be sure to link to it too in these, you know, show notes as well.
Okay, so everybody on Instagram could find me at Benz550. I have a Facebook, it's Mercedes Anderson. And usually sometimes people spell Mercedes with a S. It's not a S, it's a Z. So, you know, my Instagram is hooked up to my Facebook. So Facebook and Instagram, I'm always there. Like you said, I'm kind of active. So you can always find me there. You know, always leave a comment or just leave a DM. I try to get back to all my DMs. And then I have a YouTube video. I have a YouTube channel, and that's Mercedes Anderson and My Cancer Journey.
Oh, I love that. And Mercedes, again, is Mercedes. So
yes.
There you have it. Yeah. Well, Mercedes, it's been amazing chatting with you. I knew we were going to be friends just from from all of our DMs and everything back and forth.
Yes. But
I truly know, like, our paths, you know, were meant to cross, and we'll keep crossing. And I just, you know, would love for your story, you know, to inspire others, to continue to inspire others. I know it's making such a difference, but thank you for all your time tonight. Like, I know it's been awesome. Really getting to know you and your story. And, you know, I think we're gonna make people aware of like positivity and faith and
yes.
all sorts of, you know, things that can happen in a good way with cancer.
Yes. 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 Sometimes, like I tell people, let's take this negative and turn it to a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think, just me going through this journey, that I want to turn this negative that we going through cancer into a positive. Let's see what I could make out of it. You know, I just like, oh my God, I want to be an advocate for all women that's going through this, because it's a hard journey.
Yeah. So. Well, I truly want to thank you for your advocacy and for shining a light and shining a story, you know, and, you know, I know your sister was quiet, but I really feel like, you know, you want to be, you know, like, I feel your voice, I hear your voice, and I think that that's yes. so amazing that you do want to share your story and inspire others.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you, and you have an amazing night, and we will be in touch soon.
Yes, thank you, Tina. I appreciate it. You just don't know. I was so excited to, like, I was telling everybody, like, I'm doing an interview, but it just means so much to me, just for someone to hear my story, just for me knowing that I'm helping somebody.
And you are, for sure. Well, all my
okay,
best.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good
thank
night, you. Okay? Take
you
care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.